In the beginning, there was a creation of a small plastic case. In this case, there was an item called a DVD. When the DVD was placed inside the machine, the first movie was being watched. This allowed the Extra Features podcast to begin.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. I am Kevin.
I am Simon.
Apparently I'm the intern.
And this is episode 180.
It is. It is. 20 episodes to go in the big 200 contest I'm thinking of.
That's right, and Wolverine debuts in the next episode.
Awesome. He does.
Yeah.
Ooh, maybe with the Indigo.
So, no Joe?
Joe, I don't know. Every time I try to contact him, he doesn't get back to me. He's busy, so.
Oh, no.
And I know this is too late for him, so I have to. Because, you know, Joe's not good about me changing the schedule.
Oh.
So I didn't even try because I knew tonight, because of my daughter's singing, was going to be a little difficult anyway. So I didn't even try.
Oh.
I figured if he wants to join us, he knows the number.
Okay.
No, I just haven't tried. I've been busy. Sorry. I'll get him back, I promise. But not today.
I miss my Joe.
I know. So do I. How was Dallas?
Dallas. Oh, yeah. That was a while ago. Yeah, it was okay.
That's good. Did you have some good food?
Yeah, I guess I did.
No room service in the hotel?
No.
Well, that's not like you.
I got a roast beef sandwich at the gift shop.
How bad was that?
It was all right. It was like gourmet.
Oh, okay. I can handle that.
Yeah, I needed to. I was just so tired after the Saturday. Like, we were slammed. It was a busy show.
That's good, though. That's what you want.
I guess, yeah, I
mean,
for sure.
I mean, that's how you guys make money, you know, having people there.
Yeah, no, and, you know, my guests made money, and...
That's perfect.
We're mostly happy, I think.
Are you doing the show in Aurelia? Or is that one already gone?
I've almost said a bad word, but F no.
Okay.
I'm not going anywhere near Aurelia, sorry.
Right. Yeah, I wonder
I think
why.
The promoter's a dirtbag.
Yeah, I know who it is.
Oh. What about next week weekend in Mississauga?
I'm going to a show in at Dufferin and Bloor.
Oh.
Monday, April 23rd. But that's put on by your old friends at Paradise Comics.
Yes, I know them well.
So, it's not too bad. It's a quiet show. There is another one at Jane and Wilson on the 30th, I guess.
And you stopped doing those too, I think.
Yeah, I don't do those shows. First off, I don't like the neighborhood, and it just doesn't... I'd rather be downtown. And, I don't know. I just prefer being where I am.
Okay.
Better.
Did you see Beauty and the Beast, Kev?
I did not see Beauty and the Beast, directed by Bill Condon, starring Emma Watson, Dan Stevens, Stanley Tucci, Ian McKellen, Josh Gad, Kevin Kline, Hattie Moran, Hayden Gwynn, and Ewan McGregor, Emma Thompson, Nathan Mack, Gugu Mbatha Raw, and some other people. So, you guys obviously saw it.
I've seen Beauty and the Beast, but I'm going to defer to Bob to his story.
No, I'd rather you go first.
No, I want you to.
Okay, I saw Beauty and the Beast.
On a date?
No, actually, I saw it by myself.
Oh, no date?
No date, not that time.
Did you see Beauty and the Beast alone or with another?
I saw it with alone.
That sounds, reminds me of Confession in high school.
Yeah.
Well, did you enjoy Beauty and the Beast alone or with another?
I did enjoy it. I thought it was good. Like, it was a reimagining of the one from 1991, right? The cartoon, but this was a live-action version of it. I thought they did I thought the CGI was great. They turned people into... They did the... Dan Stevens as the Beast was really good. And they turned into... I was wondering how they would turn people into the like the furniture and the candelabra. I thought it was pretty good, but I enjoy that. I enjoy like fantasy and everything, so that was, I thought it was good. Uh-oh. He's holding his head.
Okay, Cap, you ready for a real opinion?
What do you mean a real opinion?
Yeah, they took out songs. They put in other songs. I think they would look like...
They did not take out songs. They left the songs in...
They did take out songs. They added three new songs. Did you actually read about the movie before you saw it, or didn't?
Go ahead.
Thank you. Could I finish? I didn't interrupt you during yours. Did I? No, it wasn't. I thought Dan Stevens' CGI looked horrible. The Beast CGI was awful. It looked fake to me all the time. I thought Audrey McDonald did a lovely job, lovely singing voice. I just thought Emma Watson looked asleep the whole film.
Wow.
Like, looked asleep. I thought Josh Gad and Gaston stole this film. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be getting from Emma Watson. I'm bored.
Oh, really?
Like, she can't sing. That's pretty evident. You know, like Emma Stone can't sing either. We know that. So I'm just getting to the point going, Emma, like, you're going to have to do something here for me. I felt bad, but I mean, everybody else obviously could sing throughout the film that did sing. But I mean, it didn't do anything for me. I thought it was just dull. Like, I love the original. It's a very well done cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like rewatching a cartoon. I'm like, I've been here, done this. I don't feel they did anything new for me.
I'll be honest, the why I haven't really been interested in this movie is because it looks to be just a remake of a cartoon I enjoyed. So it's kind of like if you were to make Star Wars into an animated film, would I rush out and see it? I don't know. I've already seen Star Wars.
Well, I think we would all sit down and watch it because that's what we do, but I don't think we'd be entertained by it.
Right.
And I think that's my problem with this film. I did watch it with my daughter.
Yeah.
Just because I wanted another perspective. And she thought it was okay. And she did not say she loved it.
Okay.
I think she enjoyed it, but she didn't love it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I was looking for that, I want to see this again. Nope, she was like, okay, that was good. Never said another word about it. So I'm like, okay, that told me a lot.
Well, yep. I know people that want to see it again, and myself, I want to see it again.
Okay, they're good. So you see, Bob got something my daughter didn't get, which is great. I think that's great. I'm glad people want to see it again. I'm having problems with these reimagining. Like, you've got to do something different for me.
Yeah.
And changing songs was not what I was looking for. I don't know. I think Disney, for their leads, is just looking for non-offensive people.
Yeah, I think so. Dan Stevens is pretty non-offensive, too.
Yeah, I like Dan Stevens, but he's non-offensive.
Now, Dan Stevens is starring in Legion, right?
Yes, which I've never seen.
Which is fantastic. I watched the first episode. I haven't seen anything else because it's on a network I don't have, but I have seen the first episode. It was really good.
Oh, on FX, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't get FX. So.
Okay. Moving along to another movie Kevin has not seen.
Power Rangers. Yes, definitely not the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
I'm probably way too old for you, Kev. I miss Power Rangers completely. I caught it occasionally on TV.
I'm too old for Power Rangers. I thought it was stupid.
Yeah, I didn't like anything I saw. Sorry, Power Rangers directed by Dean Israelite?
Dean Israelite.
Ryan Cranston, Elizabeth Banks, Bill Hader, and some people I don't care about.
Dockery, Montgomery, Naomi Scott, RJ Tyler, Luke, Sarah Sims, Fred Tatasciore, and cameos by Amy Jo Johnson and Jason David Franks. So they can sell more autographs at conventions. That's all good.
What I find is funny, though, Bob will look up at my Twitter account for Extra Features Podcast.
Yes.
To find out what I said about the movie before we get on the show. And makes comments to me about it.
Oh, wow.
I think that's interesting. Because I know you don't read my Twitter feed too often, Kevin.
No, I can safe to say I don't. You and Donald Trump are not high on my list.
Yeah, well, that's okay. But Kevin, Bob likes to find out what I wrote about a film ahead of time, because I do write them as I watch them. So I thought that was interesting. So, Bob, what did you think of Power Rangers? Did you know what I thought of it?
Well, I obviously liked it better than you did. What I found different and liked from that was different from the TV show is no more spandex costumes. The CGI costumes where they grow out of the floor, I thought that was really good. I hated the spandex costumes. And the way they didn't know each other at first, but they all banded together and started getting to know each other. And before they could become the Power Rangers, they had to get to know each other because the suits wouldn't work if you didn't get to know each other, and there was something holding them back. So I thought it was like I enjoyed it because I didn't want the spandex. I didn't find worked. I was bored when I saw the spandex. I'm going, yeah.
Are you done?
Yes.
Okay, no problem. Kev, I had a lot of issues with this film. It starts off, they're like a bunch of misfits.
Uh-huh.
And they got to find a way to bond, so they go to an old nuclear site, I guess, of some kind.
Well, that's where they get the rocks.
Yeah, I'm going to get there.
Okay.
And then they get almost hit by a train. At least we think they get hit by a train. Then they wake up and they have these Power Ranger
rocks.
And then they, for the next hour, they try to become a team.
Okay.
You know, trying to work together. And Bryan Cranston plays the guy that brings them together.
Nice.
I've never seen such painful acting other than watching my daughter's ABC shows. Like ABC Family, it was equivalent of watching one of those shows for 22 minutes, but 2 hours worth of it. Nobody can act. I don't know what they were doing with Elizabeth Banks, because that was a waste of casting talent, but that would say Elizabeth Banks has talent, which I've never seen, so maybe that is correct casting.
She was Rita Repulsa.
She was horrible.
Okay.
Absolutely awful.
All right.
I wish I could give you a positive on this film, Kev. Other than it was in focus, there wasn't much. I mean, the villain at the end of the film was boring. Elizabeth Banks was boring. The cameos were uninteresting. They shoved Krispy Kreme donuts down my throat whenever they could as a promotion for them.
Yeah, you must have dug that.
What, the Krispy Kreme donuts? I love Krispy Kreme donuts. I don't need an ad for them every 10 minutes.
I know, I remember. Do you remember when we were in Detroit and you had to get the Krispy Kreme donuts when they just started coming out?
I did. I still would buy them. I love them. I love Krispy Kreme donuts. I think they're the best donuts ever.
I'm lying on the floor. It's like 6 a.m. and I hear Kev. And I look. There's something over me, like the Colossus of Rhodes. And he's like, Kevin, we got to go get the donuts at 6 a.m. They're just fresh. I'm like, fine, all right. So we went to the gas station to get the fresh Krispy Kreme donuts. That was quite fun.
And they were good and fresh.
Actually, Simon's still missing out because there's a place off of Bathurst that you can get them.
I know, right near Kevin's store, but it was always on the wrong side when I drive because there was no parking on the north side because it was a school zone.
No, it's not near Kevin's store. This is Bathurst and just below...
College.
Oh, above college.
Kevin, was a Krispy Kreme location, right? Harvard and Bathurst.
Oh, that's the one, yes, okay.
Harvard and...
Bathurst.
And, yeah, I guess there's, Harvard and Bathurst. That's right near Mike's place.
Yeah, I just never stopped there because it was always on the wrong side of the street for me. I would have.
Yeah, that's the way I look at it. It's the wrong side of the street.
Well, that's my problem with Papa John's Pizza. There's not one near me, which pisses me off. I tried to go to the one downtown once, and I couldn't find a parking place to get a pizza. It was a little ridiculous. So back to Power Rangers. I mean, I hope it serves somebody's purpose to watch this film, to make this film, but I just don't see a point.
Yeah.
I think it's just a waste of somebody's time. I wouldn't even say watch it on Netflix, because I don't think it's worth your time.
I could have gone to see this movie for free, and I chose not to go.
That tells you a lot, then.
Because I honestly, I don't care about the Power Rangers. I never liked them. Never watched the show. I don't care if they're wearing spandex or tutus. I couldn't care less.
Well, I would like some acting, but the acting was equivalent to the acting I used to watch on the show. Atrocious.
Right. Teenagers in costumes. Awful. Who cares?
Awful. I agree. Moving on to a movie you've actually have seen.
Teenage Mutant, oh no, sorry, High Rise, directed by Ben Wheatley, stars Tom Hiddleston, Jeremy Irons, Sienna Miller, Luke Evans, Elizabeth Moss, James Purefoy, and Keeley Hawes. Wow, this was one weird movie. It's set in the 70s, and it's set in the open, after a high rise is opened up and people are buying, I guess, the equivalent of condos.
Yes.
And it's like almost like a microcosm in society. As you move higher up the floors, there's a hierarchy, like the building architect and owner is on the upper floor with his wife. And Tom Hiddleston is like a doctor who lives there, but like, it's just like society breaks down within the microcosm of like high rise apartment building.
Correct.
And so, I don't know. I mean, the acting was very good and very over the top. Luke Evans, he plays like the one honest man or something like that. He's trying to uncover it all for the news and whatnot. But I don't know. It was interesting, but it's almost, they said that the novel itself that it was based on was unfilmable. And I have to say it's probably the case. There must have been something that it was missed in or lost in translation. So, I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily recommend this. I would say if you're looking for something to watch and you have nothing else, it's there. Tom Hiddleston is good. And I think it ends killing me.
Kevin, we're losing. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, it just ends with him, it begins and ends with him eating a dog.
Yes.
Barbecuing a dog on his balcony. So I don't know. What did you guys think? Hello?
This thing was bizarre. I agree with almost every point you had. This is a deconstruction of society. The building breaks down, so is there society.
Yeah.
All because the kids can't have a party in the pool?
Yeah.
It was just, what the hell? I don't know. I read good things about this, and it just made no sense to me after a while.
Oh, it wasn't the only one.
And I just thought it was pointless and boring. Like, I know it's there. I like Tom Hiddleston, but I'm like, where is this going? I didn't understand it half the time. Like, was there a point to this film? Or just when society breaks down, it makes no sense to anybody.
I think that's it.
I think it's just one of those black British comedy novels that has been adapted to film.
Okay.
And it would probably move really well as a novel, but as a film, it's kind of like, I don't really know what this is trying to say. So, I don't know.
Well, I did watch it.
Like, it's worth it.
Oh, sorry.
Did you see it?
I saw it. I was getting ready for this episode. I saw this on the list. I go, well, I guess I have to watch it. I started watching it, and then I thought, okay. It started getting boring at first, and then I see him like taking the face off some guy. I'm going, what's this? I had to reverse it, and I go, okay. And then there was a couple of scenes where I had to do the same thing. I'm going, and then I'm agreeing with both of you, which is like very rare that this happens, but. It was very strange and like bizarre movie, and I didn't like it. I wouldn't recommend it either because like, although Tom Hiddleston does do a good job, I didn't think this was a movie for him. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I don't know.
Oh.
We just lost Simon for a second.
He's bored.
Yes, he is. He's bored.
Like this movie. It was kind of boring.
Actually, it was. Yes, you're right.
It was interesting, but it kind of loses direction after a while. It just ends up being kind of Lord of the Flies-like.
Maybe that's what it's based on.
I mean, like the movie is set in the era that the book was written in, which was the early 70s.
I guess so. I don't know. I just it's just so bizarre. I don't even know how to talk about it. Are you there, Cap?
Well, maybe we've talked.
Oh, Cap, we're having.
Maybe there's not. I'm here. Maybe there's nothing more to say about it.
Maybe not. Okay, moving on to something that we should never have to talk about: Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2: Out of the Shadows.
Out of the Shadows, directed by Dave Green.
Yeah,
what?
Good old Dave Green. What the hell? Okay, you keep talking. I'm gonna look up Dave Green. This guy does.
Stars Megan Fox, Will Arnett, Tyler Perry, Stephen Amell, Tony Shalhoub, Gary Brad Garrett, Jeremy Howard, Peter Plazek, and Noel Fisher. Who saw this one?
I did. Bob did, I think.
Nope, not I didn't.
What were you doing?
You didn't see it.
It's all right. We can talk about
it. It wasn't on the list for months. It was not on this thing for months. Don't give me that.
Oh, okay.
I watched it on Netflix.
Bob doesn't have Netflix.
No, I don't.
Cap?
No. Okay. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, was there a point to this movie that I missed? Like, I liked the first one. I had a good time watching it. But I just thought this one was lacking direction at all levels.
Yeah, I thought the first one was lacking something. I mean, I didn't hate it as I expected to, but I thought it was missing something, and I thought this one was better.
Oh, see, I thought the opposite.
Than the first one.
I liked the first one better.
I thought this one, you know, with Rocksteady and Bebop, it seemed a little bit starting to become more like the cartoon series.
Yeah, maybe that's why I didn't like it.
Wait, wasn't there a wrestler in this?
And to me, that's Clark Miracles.
Yeah, Sheamus plays Bebop.
Oh, that's right.
Sheamus' real name, whoever it is. I'm looking. Okay, the Big Dan Green directed Earth to Echo and Meltdown.
Oh, wow. Two classics.
So, crap, pretty much. So, yeah, why is Megan Fox have a career anymore?
Because she was hot once.
Or Will Arnett. Why is he in this film? Because he was in the first one?
Well, he was in the first one. He's pretty much replaced by Stephen Amell in this movie.
Oh, God, Stephen Amell. Wow. He's horrible in Arrow, okay. And he's horrible in this, too.
I don't mind him in Arrow, but this he kind of sleepwalks through this movie.
I think everybody sleepwalks in this movie. I thought the Turtles looked asleep.
See, I liked the Turtles more than this one. I thought they were more personality in this one than.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I really enjoyed the first film because I liked the last bit. I liked the big set piece at the end with the trucks going over the cliff. And this one, to me, just had nothing for it. At any point, I was not invested. It just reminded me more of, I guess, the Power Rangers kind of thing, that I just feel this is not for me. That this is more of just a nostalgia-based film. They're just going to keep making them as long as people pay money. It's like Transformers.
Oh, yeah. I saw a trailer for The Last Night or whatever the new Transformers one is.
This is going to be a big pile of shit. I'm just going to make fun of it, like I did for all these movies.
Right.
Like, I just feel that society, I don't know. I don't know what I want them to support, but it's not a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie. It's not a Power Ranger film. I just don't feel there's the scripture there for these movies. But, I mean, obviously the fan base is because they show up.
Mm.
I don't know. I'm glad you liked this more than I did. I wish I could get something out of these films.
Right.
Because I'm just getting to the point I put my head through walls going, oh, I can't watch these anymore.
Right.
Maybe I'm just seeing too much film. I don't know what it is. Okay.
Maybe.
Continuing on.
Next movie is called I Don't Feel at Home in the World Anymore, directed by Macon Blair, stars Melanie Lynskey, Chris Dubeck, Marilyn Faith Hickey, Gary Anthony Williams, and more people that nobody's heard of. Hey, what about the star, the male lead?
Yeah, he's not even on
in this movie.
How come you're missing his face? Frodo's not on here.
Somebody who was passive-aggressive put this list together.
Yeah, I think he was. Hang on, what's Frodo's missing?
Frodo is missing.
And he's a big part of this movie.
What's the actor's name? I can't remember. Elijah Wood.
That's it. I'm looking up IMDb right now. I'll see who else. Oh, see, he just went through the beginning. He doesn't even show up on here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's way down, though.
I guess it's by order of appearance.
It must be, because he's way, way down. Okay, well,
I usually get slammed when I put the whole cast down, so.
So what did you think of this, Kev? This is a recommendation. It wasn't on that, didn't it?
What that nobody's ever heard of?
Bob?
What?
Yeah, that's your question.
What do you mean by nobody's ever heard of these people? That's kind of mean.
Alright, well, you want to do it, you do it then.
What?
You do it.
Well, I just said it's just kind of mean to those people.
Alright.
They worked hard.
And they did.
Sorry, I don't know what I'm doing.
I don't know either. So I'm just like, okay.
I'm kind of bored. Anyway, so who saw this?
Kind of bored.
You two are bored, so you're taking it out on me. Okay.
I'm not taking anything out on you.
Yeah, you worry. Like, when I said I like Power Ranger, just slam me on it. So.
Why do you come if you hate us so much?
I don't. Why do you hate me so much?
I don't. Believe me. You wouldn't be in my house. Okay, back to this film, Kev. It's got a really slow burn, this film.
Yeah, but when it burns, it boils.
Oh, it goes nuts at the end.
I love this movie. I thought, boy, it's really slow, and where is this going? And then, boom, it's like, frick, I love this movie.
I had no idea where this was going. Because I remember you calling me, going, are you done it yet? I said, no, I've watched about half. And you're like, where are you? I said, I'm here. And you're like, oh, lots to come. I'm like, what's he talking about? I don't even know where this film is going. I mean, I don't know. I think Melanie Linsky is a very ignorant lead. I don't even know if I can use that term.
Well, she was a crazy neighbor on 2.5 Men for many years.
Okay. But she doesn't seem to really know what she's doing in this film.
She has no purpose, right? So she has a job, but she doesn't love it. And she lives alone, and she's just not happy with her life.
I get that impression.
But people are shit, is basically what it's saying. People are crappy to her.
Yes.
And she just does not have any joy in this world. She's like, I don't relate to people. That's a feeling that many of us experience over the course of the week in a city or in a town or whatever. People are just assholes. Whether you're driving or whether you're in a store or on the subway or doing whatever, people can just be creeps.
I agree.
And then you get this feeling like, why does no one have any common sense? Does no one care about their fellow man? You know, all that stuff. And so she comes home one time and she has unresolved issues towards her family members and stuff like that. But someone has broken in and stolen the silver that was left to her. And it's by this local thief who just, breaks into people's houses and steals stuff. And she eventually finds it in a pawn shop. And her computer, her laptop was taken as well, right? Yeah. And the scene when she breaks into the house, there's a feature on her laptop that tells you where it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So it suddenly comes on. So she goes to this house and these people bought it from a pawn shop.
Correct. I just like when she goes to the guy drove me back. The police officer had no interest in talking to her either.
No, they didn't care.
He's like, whatever. You should have left your door open.
Oops, I missed one.
And it just seems like strange how this film sort of unfolds. That she only gets Elijah Wood because he didn't pick up his dog poop.
Yeah.
And then they become buddies. And then she goes to the place, gets her computer. So I'm kind of like, where is this going? Then she gets her computer. Then they go to the other place to get the silver.
Yeah.
And she breaks the guy's finger.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, okay.
But he does something her in as well.
Yes. So that happens. And then I'm like, where is this film going? I still don't know where it's going. I'm like, why is
that? So then she figures out who it is that stole from her, right? Pardon? So she goes, she figures out who it was that stole and broke into her house. So she goes to the parents of the guy that broke in.
Yes.
But there, and somehow he dies. He gets killed along the way too?
Yeah, he gets hit by a bus.
Yeah.
He comes, because they figure out it's her, and they want to know why. Could they go to the parents' house, the bad guys, to figure out, just rip them off? And then they see her coming out of it. And they're kind of like, why is she here? Let's go find out. So the guy goes back to her house. They confront each other, and he runs out and gets hit by a bus.
Yeah.
And then she gets kidnapped.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, where is this still going? Then I start to figure it out what's going on. They all start connecting. And well, then it brings me my favorite scene in the film is coming up.
They have a plan to rob his parents, but she got interfered, I guess. She gets involved somehow, and I don't know. Anyway, it was interesting. It reminded me of an Elmore Leonard book.
I know. I want to go back to the scene in the parents' house.
Yeah.
Her puke scene? What the hell was that?
Oh, it's hilarious. Oh my God.
She's just hurling and hurling. I couldn't stop laughing. I was crying.
The father got, and then she starts throwing up like crazy.
Yeah, the father gets his brains blown out. She just starts puking all over the floor.
Yeah, well, how would you react if you saw someone's brains?
I have no idea, but I don't know if I could puke for 10 minutes.
Right, well.
I mean, that whole scene is traumatic. Like, it is just goes bonkers.
Yeah.
And for this film to do that kind of shocked me. Because it's so, I don't know what the word I want, minuscule? Micro? Like, it's not a big world. It's a very tiny world they live in.
Right.
And it's just like her neighborhood, the other neighborhood. I guess she really doesn't move a lot.
No.
And she doesn't look like an action hero, or this film is going to have action in it, even in it.
Yeah, I didn't get the sense that she was being an action person.
Well, she's not. The other guy is. Frodo. Elijah Wood. Yeah, I mean, I gave this film a 6. I thought it was pretty strong for the ending.
I thought it was good. I would give it like a 7 or so.
I did enjoy it. I was quite shocked that I liked this film as much as I did for being an indie. Because it had the indie feel, a slow-moving indie feel.
Yeah.
But no, I quite liked it. I did enjoy the ending. I liked how it wrapped up. I liked how they didn't get together. I thought it was good.
But they, and then the whole scene with her in the woods and the creepy villain is
chasing. That was good. That was excellent.
Yeah. And then Frodo gets shot.
Yeah, I thought it was well done.
Yeah, I recommend this movie a lot.
So would I.
If you're looking for a good thriller that will take you by, like it's hard for me to be surprised in a movie, and I was surprised quite a lot in this movie.
I agree. I took chances I did not see coming. I was quite impressed, though.
All right. Next movie on our list. Oh, I thought we had already reviewed this one, but Independence Day Resurgence, directed by Roland Emmerich, stars Liam Hemsworth, Jeff Goldblum, Bill Pullman, Micah Monroe, Celia Ward, Jesse T. Usher, Vivica Fox, Charlotte Gainsbourg, Brent Spiner, Robert Loggia, Joey King, McKenna Grace.
I forgot Judge Hirsch. Judd Hirsch.
Judd Hirsch. So it's been many years, and they've taken the technology from the aliens, and they've turned it into spacecraft and weaponry and all this stuff. But the aliens are back.
They miss you, Kevin.
They did.
They miss you.
And since Will Smith has an interest in doing this, his son is the star.
He is, because he died.
Yeah.
Well, supposedly. Why would Will Smith come back for this?
Well, I'm glad he didn't, because this was terrible.
It was absolutely terrible. But no, Will Smith did not need to come back for this in any way.
Bob, did you see this one?
Yeah, I saw it.
What do you think?
I'm almost afraid to say.
Go ahead, Bob. You can like have an opinion.
I obviously liked it better than you did because I thought the Queen was the Queen was well done. I don't know.
Oh, the Queen at the end was phenomenal.
Yeah,
that was the only thing good thing I enjoyed about this film.
I don't know. I like the different characters, but I also like when they brought Bill Pullman back, Brent Spiner back. I thought I enjoyed it for what it was because it was the same but different. If that makes sense.
Yes, total sense. I agree with you. It was the same but different.
Yeah, but you hated it.
Oh, absolutely hated it.
Well, then you can't say this. You can't agree with me then.
You just said it was the same but different.
Yeah, but I enjoy the same but different.
Well, I didn't enjoy the same but different, okay, but that's okay.
I'm not saying anymore.
Kev?
Yeah.
Well, this was just badly acted. And I mean, the problem is Bill Pullman's overacting, and Brent Spiner is just painfully acting.
Yeah.
I just thought it was atrociously bad. It's just like every time they talk, I'm like, shut up. Like, why would they blow up that robot at the beginning?
They didn't know that it was going to be who it was. They thought it was part of the alien that attacked them in the first place.
And why the I still never understood why the aliens came back a second time and lost again.
What was it they wanted Earth for? There's something about Earth.
They wanted the Earth's core.
Yeah.
So they could, like, what was it? I forget.
Oh, I thought they wanted the minerals or something from it.
They said the core itself, they wanted to take it. And
I don't know, I think it was ever explained.
Yeah, they did say it.
I don't remember. I just thought this was just bad. Like, forgettably bad. Like, after walking out, I'm like, I don't remember any of that movie.
I just watched it recently, that's probably why.
And Bob watched it the other night, so I'm asking him to remind me. But there was nothing in here you're feeling. I just thought everybody was just cookie-cutter characters in the first movie without a good feeling inside. Didn't give me a nice, warm feeling in my tummy.
And okay.
I don't know. I mean, I thought the special effects were beautiful, but other than that, I thought it was just kind of pointless.
I thought this movie just lacked something. It didn't it lacked a core of people that I would like and care for. Like, I liked Will Smith in the last movie, and I liked Bill Pullman, and I liked his wife and the struggle that they were under. How they were going to beat the aliens and stuff like that. This one, I think it was probably that it was set in a future in a world that was too different from our own.
Yeah, I could see that.
And it just, I mean, it's not the worst movie I've ever seen, but it just was not, it didn't capture my interest.
It was on my top 10 worst movies of the year.
Wow, yeah, I mean, I think I've seen worse, but, I mean, I would not recommend this. I would just say, yeah, you know, if you really just want to see, the first movie was something else, but Roland Emmerich, I'm not a big fan of his movies in general. And I think Independence Day, he kind of got lucky with.
I think so, too. I think he just hit on something that worked.
I think, like, San Andreas was him.
Yeah, which wasn't a horrible film.
He's really a master of disaster.
I gave it a 4. I didn't hate it.
Well, that's not what you said.
I just thought that was a better film. We're not going back to San Andreas.
You guys brought it up. I'm just saying you hated it.
I did not hate it. I gave it a 4.
Okay, sorry. Never mind.
All right. You guessed wrong. Okay, Cav. We have a few minutes left. What did you buy?
Well, there's some movies in the vault.
Well, you said you wanted to wait for Joe for these two. Do I just do them?
Like Joe.
Okay, Young Frankenstein, let's go. Joe never
what?
Told you. Okay, Young Frankenstein, which I know you've seen.
Young Frankenstein I've seen, Mel Brooks, Gene Wilder, Gene Hackman, Madeleine Kahn, Marty Feldman, Terry Garr, Peter Boyle, Cloris Leachman, Kenneth Mars, Richard Hayden.
Okay, go, Bob.
Well, you go.
Okay. I love this film. It makes me laugh every time I watch it. I think Gene Wilder's... it tells you why he's a star. Gene Hackman, Madeleine Kahn has just got perfect common timing for me all the time. I love Marty Feldman. Terry Garr is beautiful. Peter Boyle is great. Cloris Leachman is just a great actress. And everything I see her in, I love her. I think it's just a wonderful film. It should be seen by everybody. Bob?
This is about the third time I've seen it. I really liked it, too. I actually saw it when it first came out, I think. But I saw it again recently just to remind myself, and it hasn't changed in my opinion. It still is good. But when they were doing that song and dance where Peter Boyle's character goes,
"Put on the red!
Put on the red!"
Just about this. Gavin, you don't like this film?
It's okay.
That's it. Just okay.
No, I'm not as in love with it as you guys are.
I'm absolutely in love with this film. I have been for years. What don't you like about it? It just doesn't appeal to you? It's too hammy?
No, it just has never. I've never connected with it. It's one of those movies that I should like it, but I just don't. I mean, I love Marty Feldman and stuff, but
you have the same problem with Blazing Saddles, then?
No, I love Blazing Saddles. That's the odd thing.
Okay.
Blazing Saddles is just hilarious. I like it quite a bit.
And Robin Hood Men in Tights?
No, awful.
Spaceballs?
Not a fan.
Oh wow. So you're not a Brooks fan, then? I'm probably a bigger Brooks fan than you are.
I'm a mixed Brooks. I like some stuff, but not all.
Yeah, I like some of it. Like History of the World Part 2, I remember really liking, but it's been years since I've sat through one of his films.
Mm-hmm.
That film. I don't know. Wow, I'm shocked you don't like Young Frankenstein as much as me. Okay. Moving on, Bob. A Year Without Santa Claus?
I first saw this one years ago, and it stuck with me because, like, the song where they go to the heat miser and the cold miser, that just stuck in my head for years.
Ah, Mr.
I know. It's just like, and I couldn't forget it. I wanted to see this ever since again, and it's never been on TV again that I know of.
YTV hasn't.
Well, I didn't see it. But I, when I saw it again, it brought me back, and I liked it. And then I got, "I'm Mr. Heat," and I'm going, "Oh, good, again, here we go." But I missed it. I missed seeing that movie. I liked it. So,
Calvin, you ever seen this?
You were the Santa Claus? Yeah. Not that I recall. No,
absolutely one of my favorite Rankin Bass things. Voices, Mickey Rooney, Shirley Booth, Dick Shawn, George F. Irving, who sounds exactly like his character.
I just don't remember it.
If you saw it, I think you'd remember. I think it's one of my favorite Rankin Bass ones.
It's where he got a cold and he wanted to take the year off, and he says, they don't really care about Christmas anymore anyway, so, and they have a town where it never snows, and he says, And the mayor says, "Well, if you can promise to make it snow, then we'll give Santa the biggest year off he could ever get." And so that's why they go into they meet Mother Nature. And Mother Nature tries to talk Coldweiser into giving this town a white Christmas. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I know all this.
He's right, everything he's saying. It's just cute. It's a Rankin Bass that works for me. The songs are catchy. It's actually one of my favorite Christmas things. I don't think my kids have saw it. I should have made them watch it.
Sure.
I think it's I really think you would like this.
This is a shock that you like this.
It's catchy. It's quirky. It works for me.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it is for kids, but it works for me. It makes me laugh.
Okay. Well, that's good.
You found the kid at heart.
The only other one, Rankin Bass, I don't think I've seen is Rudolph. And somebody celebrate Christmas in July.
Oh my God.
Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July.
I've never seen that one. I don't think I have.
I have.
That's probably the next one on my list to see. Is it Frosty and Rudolph celebrate Christmas in July? That's what it's called?
Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July.
Yeah, I'm going to write this down. I'm going to see this for the next show. Have you seen it?
I think I've seen it.
I know I've seen it.
So
that's not the one with Baby New Year, is it?
No, it's New Year's Baby. I love that one, too. We've never done that one, either.
Oh.
With the big ears?
Uh-huh.
I love that
one.
And
if somebody points out that he has a big ears and he starts crying?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just watch that every year.
Oh.
So, Kevin, you didn't make it to the HMV closing sale.
No, I did not. I heard it was closing at 8 and I, or whatever, or 7, and I got down there and they closed at 3. So
were you upset?
Get down there. No, I'm not upset because I don't really buy much anymore. I did buy 2 movies that day, though.
What'd you buy?
I bought Prince Under a Cherry Moon and...
Wait, that's a movie?
Yeah.
I've never...
There are two Prince movies. So Prince did 3 movies in total.
I think I've only ever seen the one.
He did Purple Rain.
Dave could tell you.
Which I've seen.
And then Under a Cherry Moon, it's like set in the 1920s, and the love interest is Kristen Scott Thomas.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen this.
So he's like a musician, and he lives... He and Maurice from the Time are musician competitors, and they're like they live in like the south of France, romancing women. And she's like this cold British heiress that they turn into their like love-starved whatever. And then I've never seen it, so I'm kind of curious to see it. And then I also got Graffiti Bridge.
Never heard of it.
So Graffiti Bridge is the sequel to Purple Rain.
Oh.
So it's the kid who is his character from Purple Rain and Maurice and whatever from the Time. There's a competition and there's a whole bunch of other artists that he features in the, you know. It was back when Prince was trying to launch like a studio of people.
Yeah, Sheila E. and... That kind of time.
Oh. Well, Sheila E. was before that, but, you know, Tevin Campbell and stuff. So I'm curious to see that, too, because Graffiti Bridge, the album is great.
It's got some song with that band, and I can't remember the name of it, that recorded in the room.
Prince and the New Revolution, or...
No, another band before the Bangles. Prince wrote Manic Monday, but another girl group sang it first. I heard it. It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Have you watched both of these films?
I haven't watched them yet. And I also picked up Game of Thrones Season 6, even though I've seen it on HBO. I picked up the Blu-ray and the digital copy for like $20.
Nice. Where'd you pick up the print stuff?
At BMV.
How much?
They were $5.99 each.
That's pretty reasonable, I think, for films that I've never seen on DVD. I would have picked them up.
I still have to finish. A few weeks ago, I also got 2 Tarzan collections. So they're the 8 of the Johnny Weissmuller movies.
Yeah, you told us that. I haven't started my pile of them yet. I was waiting for you to finish, and I'll just watch them in a week.
And I still have to watch Magnificent Ambersons. I did get Rogue One.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, I'll find a garage sale eventually.
And I don't know. I haven't seen the Titans one yet. Judas Contract?
I have.
Okay, so we'll probably review that next episode.
Yeah, I've seen Judas Contract. Okay, Bob, you're up.
All I remember buying was season 1 to 6 of the Brady Bunch. It was on special.
The story.
What?
Of Randy Brady. Yeah.
Can I discuss films I've watched as opposed to buying? Is that okay?
No.
Is that okay, yeah. Kev? Okay, I've watched Primal Fear this week. The Wedding Date. Sirens. And Swim Fan.
Yeah.
I don't know. Garage sale season starts tomorrow for me, so I'll be picking up some DVDs.
Nice. 50 cents.
50 cents. That's an expensive garage sale. Usually about 30, 35 cents now for DVDs.
What? You pay $5.
No, I pay about 50 cents each. That's usually what I pay for most of the stuff. So, anything else going on? What are you looking forward to? Are we doing summer movie preview this year?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, we got to do that soon, don't we? Next couple weeks.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, it's almost time to...
We gotta
start with the big winners of the season.
We got to do it before Guardians.
Well, yeah. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah. You got anything else, Bob, before we sign off? Okay, we're good. We got perfect timing. Everything's good. I just want to say I did an interview with David Succedo the other day on his film Lady Belladonna, Lady of the Night. That's probably the wrong title. But it's on the feed, so you'll find it below this. I have another one coming up on... Hold on, I'll tell you the guy's name. I have another one coming up soon, so stay tuned for that interview, too. And that'll be our third interview in the series.
Cool.
So we're getting there. So I'm Simon.
Intern.
Kevin.
And if they make it...
Simon forces me to watch it.
Bob has to watch it. I'm going to start pausing.
I don't know.